Welcome to the Stay Informed podcast. I'm your host, Tom Oshowitz.
And I'm your other host, Jessica Gonzalez. Today, we're going to be talking about using technology and data consortiums, how to make data more understandable and useful.
This is particularly relevant as we previously discussed data consortium data. Jessica, can you give a couple examples of how we can make data more useful and relevant for our customers?
Yeah, I think it's really not so much that how do we make data more useful, but understanding how people consume data. And it's how do people use data to make decisions? And from a lender perspective, as well as a client or an executive, there's really three different ways that people use data to make decisions. And ultimately, that rolls down into somebody that is always using data. They need data. They cannot make a decision without data being available to them. So that is data-driven individual. And so this would be somebody that wants industry metrics. They want all the data. They're used to getting it. We see this a lot with clients that are, you know, want 6 months worth of data. They're in live production and they're using data to really interpret what they want to see from their perspective. And I think that's really great. They know how to use their data. They're comfortable with it. Whenever I see clients that are utilizing data in that way is that, hey, let's also look at how you can make that data really relevant and utilizing low-hanging fruit. How can you feel confident with this piece of data so that you can make a decision and then ultimately continue making decisions in a very agile way so that you are still using that data and driven by it, but not making you stop utilizing the data? The second person is kind of a data insights, more of a hybrid approach that they want data, they want to make sure that they're going through the right decision, but they're not going to make every decision based on solely data. They're really going to rely on their experts. And this is very valuable because, you know, you want to be able to not have so much data that you don't know what to do with it. In this instance, we really make sure that the data is comprehensive. So for an example, for Dealer Verify, you know, a really great KPI is how often is a link clicked on and how often is a dealer uploading documents into that dealer portal, and then what is the results of it. So when you add in all of that data, you can actually see that the dealer is having a great experience. A dealer that is choosing a digital channel is having the opportunity to use the channel of choice, which is a digitized upload functionality that is very easy to use, and it's a great experience for them. But right off the bat, you're seeing a really good lift on the dealers that are wanting that digital experience that was lacking before. So I really like that hybrid approach because I think all the data is really good, but you need to understand kind of that use case. And then the third one is somebody that is data aware. They understand that data is important, but maybe they don't know how to use that data or that they haven't had ease of use of the data. So I think informed is really great in being able to have, you know, a standard metrics as well as dashboards, making those dashboards very usable and having those dashboards be able to associate to actionable items that when you see this, this is the next step that you should have. An example would be that we show every drill down into a dealer view as well as a lender view specifically by stipulation, which is a blocker. When you have that view and that understanding of each specific verification component, each specific document that is stopping a deal, you're able to be very much more actionable. It's really critical for the continuation of the onboarding process, or you're also able to understand what are the bottlenecks within your own process and be able to handle that so that you can get to be using the data, but also making really good decisions so that you see that quick ROI.
You know, Jesse, there's so much there. It was so rich in your conversation there. I just have to ask you a couple of questions. One is, how important is it for people to understand the data? I mean, one of the things that we have at Informed is a lot of experience working in auto. How is important if you're working with a partner that people understand your data?
Like I said, I think that hybrid approach, especially in auto, is really critical. We hear time and time again that people choose to use Informed because we're subject matter experts, because we have a team of not only dedicated machine learning engineers and we have the technology focus, but we also have the subject matter expert in being able to understand those variable components, right? Understand what these, you know, time in, contracts in transit, what are those journeys like, not only from a lender experience, but a consumer experience and a dealer experience is really critical to say that you can reach. And I think a lot of times people come in and say, hey, you're working with so many different lenders. Like, how do I know that you're not going to give away the secret sauce? And in reality, like I said, in every organization, their own maturity level of whether they're using data 100% of the time, using that hybrid approach of data, but also, you know, their subject matter experts. And then also maybe they just haven't had access to data is different in every organization, as well as their own technology stack, their own infrastructure. So being able to kind of massage the data to get the results that you want and using it in a useful way is very critical, right? And I think that making sure that you can, you know, get that sweet sauce, right? The sweet spot of the hybrid is really important so that you're making the decisions, but you're not paralyzed by, you need to know all the data, right? There's data that we're just not going to know. It helps us tell the future, but you know, we're not a psychic in that realm. So we really have to rely on those subject matter experts.
You know, the other thing I was sort of thinking about was, you know, the notion that there's both the data and the model. I mean, going to my own background in consumer reporting, you look at the arc of the development of consumer reporting. First, at some point, they just had to report to some people. And what people would do is they'd make judgmental decisions saying, hey, you look like a good credit risk. You don't look like a credit risk. What happened? How did we advance it? They built a model. You know, when FICO built their first model, all of a sudden people were able to use analytics and I hate to say it, math, to help figure out more accurately and remove some of the biases. And so, I mean, I guess one thing that's super exciting is not only having the data, but having the model to back it up, right? And figuring out which data matters and which data doesn't matter. I mean, any tips from your experience in terms of working with lending, like how you've used data differently now than you were a couple of years ago, or, you know, how to help people figure out what matters from what doesn't?
Yeah, I think the transparency around data has been really critical, right? Understanding that I think a lot of times you think that you can just take all this data and build a model. And I don't really agree with that approach most of the time, because I feel like you need to do the analysis of the variables first, understand if those variables are worthy to be in the model, because you know that if you do not have clean data, your models are going to be skewed from the beginning. I feel like you kind of jump into the steps of saying, hey, I have this really great data. You know, maybe you don't have the subject matter expertise so that you just want to go in and build a model. But if you start building the model without making sure that the data is clean, that the variable has been already, you know, understood that this is a variable that I can use, it's the right variable, you start, you know, misconstruing that. I think also whenever you're starting to make a data that is across multiple industries, multiple lending organizations, you also have to understand that there's a definition for all of those variables, or it's very different, right? So we talk about contracts in transit, we talk about holding time, how long does it take for you to onboard a loan? Some lenders look at the time that a contract is in state when they receive it all the way till the contract is actually funded as their funding time. Others talk about the funding time from the time that a funder is actually reviewing a document, and it's actually after credit policy. So making sure that you understand your variables and define your variables really early on within your model is really critical. Otherwise, you could really, you know, create a model that you think is really great, but it's, you know, giving you really bad output. So I think it's very key to do that early on. But you talked about also, Tom, how it's changed and evolved. I think, you know, how can you tell me that over your career that, you know, some of these metrics have evolved over time?
Yeah, sure. Before I go there, I do want to make one build on to it, because you made so many great comments. I want to jump back in for some of that stuff. But I think one thing with respect to data is that if you use too much data and use too many variables, there's this risk in AI, as I understand it, of overfitting, that you create so many variables in the model that you've trained it for that particular instance, but you haven't made it a general use case. And so there's always this issue of making sure that you're using the data that's necessary for the job and that you don't over-program. The second thing I would say is that not all data is equal. You know, one of the things that's so exciting about what we do at Informed is that we have data from people doing similar business in similar industries with similar use cases. And so all the data that we have sort of builds, resonates with each other to provide more value for our clients. And so that's sort of the value of having what I would call a vertical AI model, which is the idea that you have all this information that's targeted, that's useful. So that's one point. Now, in terms of my own experience on the use of data, it's funny because, you know, I continue to see over time the incredible value of consortium information. You know, I started in the Senate working on stopping fraud, and I passed a bunch of laws with Senator Feinstein to work on identity fraud. And it's funny because now, you know, I left fraud and all of a sudden I'm back in fraud. And so it just shows you some problems are evergreen. But, you know, I think what's happened is that, you know, data is growing more and more exponential in the different directions. It's not like, it's not just like there's fraud, there's credit, there's other types of analytics. It's flowering. There's so many different ways to use data that frankly, it's mind blowing actually. And I think that anybody who is in the business of solving problems these days also have to be in the business of understanding data, no matter what business you're in. So the question is, how do we make it useful? So I guess going back to that, you know, Jessica, in your career journey, what's your sense of the sophistication of the companies you're working with and how have they grown over time?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I like the hybrid of approach of making data usable and useful, right? You need data to make decisions. You can't just make all decisions willy-nilly. And so, you know, it's that data insights, data informed, how convenient that it's called data informed, but that middle ground of being able to say, you know, I'm going to take my experience, but I'm also going to take the data and understand it. And then also switching that. I think there becomes a component of, you know, you feel very confident because of you're a subject matter expert and consistently saying, let me make the data say what I want to say. That can be helpful in certain situations, but in reality, when you're trying to make the appropriate decision, you have to really make sure that you let the data speak for itself. And then you also use your subject matter expert to be really able to combine them, right? But they should not be biased in the way that you're looking at it, because a lot of times you can make data say the story you want it to say. So I always tell people, my advice is that be confident in your subject matter experts, know what they're bringing to the table, but then also evaluate your data with a clear head. Do not allow your bias to, you know, be leading the charge of the data. Let it speak for itself. There may be reasons why the data is saying this that are very valid, but you need to at least review the data with that without bias at hand. Because otherwise you get into the portion of that the data is just speaking the same story that you're speaking and you're not actually using the data in that true hybrid approach. So you need to make sure that you still also look at that data insights, the industry standards, and have that sanity check with yourself as well.
You know, this sort of reminds me of, I want to talk about metrics for a second. And this reminds me of a story I once heard about a very large bank, which I will not name unless you give me a couple of candy bars, they every month have a data book. And this data book has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of metrics. It's maybe a 100-page data book. And on the first page of the data book, there are 30 key metrics that they look at. And they monitor those key metrics assiduously. This is what really matters. So when the executives come in, they say, tell me how those 30 metrics are going. So tell me, how do metrics, from your view, help customers organize their data? And how can we help inform with that concept of using metrics?
Yeah. I think that having standardizations from a third party is really important, especially that data bias. So if you have incomplete or inaccurate information, you can create some of the limitations that we're talking about where you feel like you're depicting your own portfolio, your own population accurately, and you may not be because, hey, you've done business the same way and it's always been fine and it's always worked out the same way. But that's kind of where it is helpful to see standardized reporting from a third party and understanding how, you know, somebody else thinks about the data so that you can get that consultative view of it. And I think from the perspective is that we all want the data. We all see the value in the data. I don't think you could walk up to anybody at a million different conferences around, you know, mortgage or personal lending or banking and say, no, I don't want any data, right? Everybody wants data. Everybody thinks it's important, but the aspect of being able to make that data very actionable. So I think you always focus with your goal in mind when you're thinking about data. What am I trying to achieve? And then identify the right metrics that would help you achieve them. What I say is always identify, you know, 5 to 10 metrics. You're in and forget about whether those data elements are available to you or not. Think about in a real world scenario, 5 or 10 metrics that you say, if I could do everything and I had all the data, this is what I wouldn't want to do. Then you go into the measurement of, okay, these are the data elements that I actually have. How can I combine what I have and the data here? And then that's kind of how you start your journey. And so that you're trying to fill the gap between your ideal data elements and then the data that you have available to you. So that's kind of where that hybrid approach is, where you're like, hey, this is what I'm missing, but this is the data data and I'm going to review it in this way so that you can make those decisions. And then always define your metrics, always define your data elements. Like you said, everybody does it slightly different, the way they define contracts and transit, they define, you know, auto fund, you know, straight through processing. We hear all of these words consistently, but every lender does it very differently, so that you make sure that those are defined. So, you know, even in our dashboards, you know, when we do scoring or we do roll-ups of identity, we definitely identify how those are, you know, risk factors, what are the variables that are put into those scoring mechanisms.
Just to add to that, I think one thing to think about also is the concept of when the data is coming into your organization. One thing that's so important is the notion of getting ongoing data, ongoing feedback. One of my favorite stories from an AI perspective is a little app called Street Bump. And this was developed in Boston and I guess MIT in like 2012. And the whole goal of the program was to use the accelerometers on your telephones to identify potholes in streets. So they built this app and they gave it to folks and the people drove around Boston. And what they found out is all the potholes in the areas where yuppies lived who had downloaded the phone. There wasn't any, it was a biased source of users. And so one of the issues is it's not just the data you get, how does it work in the field? And so it's so important to actually get feedback about how this is working. If you have the best model, but all of a sudden documents change or other things are happening, you have to have feedback. And that's something that, you know, we've been very aware of. Even when you're thinking about generic AI models, right? They're built on a corpus of data, but they're built at a period of time. And there's a natural tendency of any data model to degrade. So you really need to figure out some way to get real-time feedback. And so not only the data in the past is important, but keep on getting that data.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why we've implemented, you know, we have a fraud feedback loop as well as a feedback loop from our side from a QC annotation, just to make sure we have no hallucinations, our AI is performing as expected. And then we also get feedback from our clients and our lenders that do their own QC and their policy. So having that link is really important. And I would just say that from overall, just to close it up, I think that it's important for everyone to keep learning about data analysis and how they interpret that data, that they're always checking their own bias from a data perspective, but also from their own process utilization perspective. So thank you, Tom, so much. It was a great conversation. That's all we have for now. Once again, I'm Jessica Gonzalez.
And I'm Tom. Remember to stay informed.